Innal hamdalillah wassalatu wassalamu ala rasulillah wa ba'd. My dear brothers and sisters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Suratul Baqarah tells us the story of Talut towards the end of the second juz, before the beginning of the first juz, the beginning of the third juz, the story of Talut. Now, today we are living in a world where we are faced with all kinds of difficulties and trials and tribulations, and people are writing articles about how they foresee the future and so on, and especially with respect to the Muslims. And it's difficult to see anything good, at least in the immediate future, so from all these articles. But we have our faith and belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu. So therefore we neither lose hope, nor do we despair, nor do we fall into the trap of doomsday predictions. And at the same time, we also don't fool ourselves by imagining that everything is going to be hunky-dory without any effort on our part. So that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us the story of Talut. Rasulullah said that the reason why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us all these stories of the Bani Israel is not because the Quran is some history of Bani Israel, but because this was the ummah which came before us and which came with the same parameters for success that we came with, which is to follow the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to take it forward and to propagate it, and to not to propagate it to get more membership and subscription dues, but to propagate it for the benefit of all of humanity. And therefore, what they did and what happened to them are lessons for us both to do as well as not to do. And that's why the history of Bani Israel is mentioned so many times in the Quran. Now, the story of Talut is a very interesting story. What happened was that after Musa alayhi salam liberated the Bani Israel from Fir'aun, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent them to the land of Canaan, which is where they were supposed to go. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered them to fight. So he said, these are the people, then Allah will give you victory. So when Musa alayhi salam informed them and said that, look, this is what Allah has ordered, go and fight and Allah will give you victory, the Bani Israel said, sorry, we are not into this business. Those are very dangerous people. We know a lot about their warlike capabilities and so on. And so we are not going to fight. You and your Rabb go and fight. These were the words of the Bani Israel. So Musa alayhi salam was very disappointed. And it was the Qudrat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala could have sent Musa alayhi salam alone, and Allah could have helped him in ways which Allah knows, and Musa alayhi salam single-handedly could have defeated those people. This is not beyond the capability of Allah jalla jalalu. But that is not the sunnatullah. Allah does not do that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this world gives you what you work for. So therefore Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then decreed that the land of Jerusalem, the land of that was promised to the Bani Israel, would not be given to that generation. So for 40 years they wandered in the desert. Even though the Nabi, and not just the Nabi, one of the Ulul Azam min al-Anbiya, somebody of the stature of Musa alayhi salam, was with them. Despite that, they did not succeed and they did not get what Allah had promised them. Not because Allah goes back on His promises, Allah does not go back on His promises, but because the promise comes with a condition. You will get this promise provided you do this. So you don't fulfill the condition, the promise doesn't happen. So that's what happened to them. And that's for an entire generation of Bani Israel was could not see the Holy Land. And Musa alayhi salam himself could not see the Holy Land as a consequence of this. Then Musa alayhi salam passed away and so on, and time passed. And then they had another Nabi who came, who was sent to them. And during the time of that Nabi, the Bani Israel again went to the Nabi and they said, make dua for us that Allah should give us a leader. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them Talut. Now, Talut was one of their own people. He was a great warrior. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them Talut and said, gave them Talut and said, this is your king, so follow him. Now, Bani Israel objected. And they said, he is not the wealthiest among us, and he is this and he is that. Now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Nabi said to them, those are not the parameters of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You asked Allah to choose a leader for you, Allah chose a leader for you. So accept the leader. Don't make objections after that, because a leader does not meet your criteria. So anyway, they objected and they did and this and that. So Talut then said to them that he was preparing now an army to go and fight and take over Jerusalem and liberate Jerusalem from the Hittites who were occupying it. So Talut said to them, anyone who has recently married, don't join the army. Anyone who's building a house and putting a roof, don't join the army, and so on and so on. So he was trying to create filters by which he would get some people who are truly committed. So he got a number of people who were truly committed, and that was a pretty large army. And then Talut took them on a route march towards Jerusalem, towards the Holy Land, but not in a direct route. He took them deliberately on a very circuitous path through the desert, very difficult march, and he took them on a very rigorous march. So they had to march through the desert, they had to undergo a lot of hardship, and all this hardship was created by the leader himself, because his purpose was to further filter this army and get some truly committed and truly prepared warriors to actually fight the battle, because they were going to fight some very strong enemies. Eventually, after this very circuitous march through the desert, so obviously they were hungry, they were thirsty, and they were in a great state of stress, they came to a river. So when they came to the river, Talut ordered them and said, cross this river, do not drink any water. Now here is this army which is, you know, very thirsty and so on. He said, this is a test for you, and anyone who drinks any water except ghurfatam bi yadi, what comes in the in your hand, one hand, jis chullu bhar pani mein hame doob marna chahiye utna pani. So he says the hand that what can be held in the cup of your hand, except for that much, do not, which means just one mouthful of water. I mean, it's so he said, except for that much, do not drink any water, and anyone who drinks more than that is not from this army. So he is ejected. So now imagine, where is he doing the final selection before facing the enemy's army? And his final selection is obviously going to leave him with fewer people, not more people, because of this test. So he did that, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, they all drank water except for a few. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that there were about 313, 314 of them who were left. So out of about 30,000 of them who originally started, only 300 odd people were left. And then they faced the army, and Jalut, which is Goliath, came forward, as that was the custom of the time. The champions of the two armies would meet and fight. So he came forward, he challenged them to battle. Talut asked his people, he said, who's ready? And Dawud alayhi salam, who was a shepherd boy, he came forward. All he had was a slingshot in his hand. They tried to persuade him, they said, look, you can't fight this man, he's a, you know, great warrior, he's fully armored, he's got all kinds of weapons and so on, and you have nothing, you just have a slingshot. And Dawud alayhi salam said, this is what I have, I will fight. And Talut allowed him to do that. So Dawud alayhi salam went and fought Goliath, he fought Jalut, and he killed him. Now there is a lecture of mine on the strategy of David. So I said that's a separate lecture. So I will send you the link of that. So see that. What do you do if you are weak and you have to fight a very strong competitor? So that was the lesson. Now, point of this whole story is, I'm not saying all this story for the sake of story. I'm saying this for the lesson of the story. The lessons of the story are as follows. First of all, the first lesson and most important lesson of the story is that the kind of leadership you need, which will help you and succeed, depends on the kind of challenge you have. Now think about this. The Bani Israel already had a Nabi. So religious leadership they already had. Why did Allah not tell the Nabi to go lead them in battle? Today we think that, you know, we say, oh no, we have so and so is a scholar. There is something a scholar can do, there is something a scholar cannot do. You can't take everything and dump it at in the lap of the scholar and say, solve it for me. He does not know that. And the Quran shows us this. They already had a Nabi. Why did Allah not make the Nabi himself their leader? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent Talut, and very clearly Talut was not a Nabi. He was not a scholar. He was not wealthy. But he had the required skills for that challenge. The first lesson is that if you want to win, you have to pick the right leader. Not just picking any leader. And when you are not picking a particular leader, it does not mean that this leader who is there is trash and is useless, is worthless. No, the Nabi is not trash and useless and worthless. The Nabi is the Nabi. And even though Talut comes as the king, Talut is not the Nabi in terms of rank with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He does not supersede the Nabi. But the Nabi does not interfere with him because the Nabi knows this guy's knowledge I do not have. And now for this challenge, we need his knowledge, we do not need my knowledge. My role is to make dua, to ask for the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but my role is not in battle. I don't know the first thing about battle. Here is a man who knows what's to be done. So the very important lesson is that the kind of leadership that succeeds depends on the kind of challenge we have. And if you pick the wrong leader, you're going to lose. Number one. Number two is that even with the best leader, unless you have followers who are capable, you still will not win. Who was a better leader than Musa alayhi salam? He did not win. Because the followers were worthless. So what did Talut, what did he do? The first thing he did was he took them on this route march. He prepared them. Now in the preparation, is it pleasant? It's not pleasant. It's painful. And then the test at the end of that, after all that route march, you're hungry, you're thirsty and so on, the man tells you one completely insane thing, you can't even drink water. That is a test of followership. It's not a question of followership. Will you follow the leader even when the leader gives you an instruction which goes against your grain? You may think the leader is mad, but doesn't matter. I have to follow the leader. That's my job. He said, don't drink water. I will not drink water. Other people said, now this is crazy. I mean, I did all this route march. At the time of drinking water, is that a psychological test or is it a physical test? Because whoever survived that route march was more or less equal. Right? I mean, otherwise they would have dropped off on route. They did not. So it's not a physical test. Not a question of saying, you know, do I have strength? No. It's a psychological test. And that is what wins battle. The battles are won and challenges are met on the basis of your spirit, not on the basis of physical power. So this is a psychological test. So don't drink water. And the people who passed that test were the people who were chosen to stand up against the enemy. So right kind of leader. Number two is right kind of followers, and number three is right kind of preparation, which is by definition going to be difficult and unpleasant and painful. But unless you go through that process, you will not succeed. And finally, then there is the test of which Dawud alayhi salam embodied, which is the test of faith and tawakkul on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and being clear about your own strengths and using that strength. Dawud alayhi salam's strength was he was absolutely accurate with a slingshot. That was his only strength, nothing else. Absolutely accurate with a slingshot. So in the final end, what wins? The biggest gun or whether you can hit the target? Simple as that. And that's what he did and that's what we won. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us to learn the lessons from the Quran, because this is the time to apply these lessons. Allah did not tell us stories for us to sing songs about. He told us the stories for us to learn and to benefit from them in our lives. We ask Allah to give us the hikmah and the wisdom to benefit from these stories so that we can apply them in our lives and inshallah overcome the challenges that we have before us. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin.